Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to another edition of Backstage Chicago. I'm Lisa Fielding, your host from WBBM News Radio. And today we are in Chicago's Lakeview neighborhood inside the Anthoneum Theater, Studio A, to talk about Chicago Tap Theater. And I welcome Artistic Director Mark Yonnelly and Dancer Chris Large. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
Thanks.
It's a cold day today, but we're going to talk about warm, fuzzy things today, as in dancing and tap dancing. And I have to admit, I have driven by the Anthoneum Theater many times, and I've seen St. Alphonsus, but I didn't know there was a theater right next door. And this is a really historic place, it looks like. Kind of tell us a little bit about what you know about this place.
I would be happy to.
Right,
yeah,
thanks, Mark.
This venue is over 100 years old. And I will tell you that when I first moved to Chicago 22 years ago, the very first performance I saw in the city was here at the Athenaeum. I saw Dance Chicago, and I remember just falling in love with the space. The main stage, you know, is this kind of picturesque, gorgeous, straddling the line between Art Nouveau and Art Deco. And that Dance Chicago show, you know, is this compendium of some of the most amazing dancers the city of Chicago has to offer. And I remember seeing that show and just thinking, gosh, if someday I could do a show in this venue, it would blow my mind. And what's cool about the Athenaeum, there's the big main stage that holds a little under 1,000 people. And then they have three studios that each hold around 90 people in the audience. So our very first show we ever produced was actually right here at the Athenaeum in a little 85-seat theater. We did 5 shows, sold out everyone. And I think it was maybe 7 seasons later, we were finally big enough. We were able to do a show on the main stage.
Wow.
And I just remember that being one of those Chicago accomplishment moments in my life. It really was a lovely experience.
So take us back. You're almost 20 years ago, you're talking about.
Most certainly.
So tell me about yourself and your background in dance and how this all came about.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Okay. So my name is Mark. I started dancing when I was 3 years old. My parents tell me they put me in dance because I was a very sickly child. I was in and out of the hospital with really bad allergies and asthma. And they had a forward-thinking doctor that suggested to them that they put me in dance and that it would help me build up strength and the ability to increase my endurance. And so I did. They put me in dance at 3. I think around age 8 is when I finally figured out tap. Because I took everything. I took jazz, ballet, tap, tumbling. And to be honest, I wasn't particularly adept at any of them. I was decently talented, and I was a ham, which goes a long way.
I can tell.
Right? I know. But around 8, I remember I took my first private class in tap dance. And I remember the teacher working with me one-on-one. All of a sudden, all these things that I'd done as a group clicked. And I all of a sudden, the logic made sense to me, and I understood it in a way I hadn't before. And I think within 2 years, then I had advanced, I think, 3 levels. I found how it worked for me and what it did for me and how it made me feel, there was just no turning back. It became my biggest passion. I was a child actor also. I did some film and TV and that kind of stuff. But really, at the end of the day, when it all came down to it, tap dance was what really set my heart on fire.
And is that the same kind of story, Chris, that you have? Did you start out as a young dancer when you were a kid?
Well, my mom put me in dance when I was young, and I apparently ran out of the classroom crying because there weren't any other boys. but then I went back to it at 11, and similar story that I had. I tried all the different dance forms. I went to college for dance, but tap was what I loved. First year also wasn't very good at it, but yeah, then progressed and loved making rhythm with my feet. I would say tap is for everyone.
Right.
Similarly, like, you have to learn that rhythm and figure out how the footwork makes sense in the melody and all that stuff.
Did you ever have any dancers that were, things that you emulate, like, you know, Gregory Hines or Fred Astaire or Gene Kelly, you know, when you were young? Did you ever look at men to be dancers and say, I want to be like that? Do you remember that as a kid?
Yeah. Okay. Savion Glover, for me, I would say would be one of the first ones. He had a little book and tells the story of him as a little kid banging on pots and pans, and that encouraged me, and I saw Bringing the Noise, Bringing the Funk, which is something his company did. So that was one of the people I emulated, but then, fell in love with Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire.
Because you remember the old art of tap back in the day in the old 30s and 40s movies like that, and how it's really evolved, like you said, bringing this. I mean, tell me a little bit about how tap has evolved over the years from an old school kind of Ziegfeld kind of dance to where we are now.
Yeah, you know, so I'm going to give a very glossed over version because this is such a big topic to talk about tap dance history. But, you know, as far as we know, we believe that tap dance probably dates back at least around the 1700s. Mm. We know that it originated among the enslaved black people in the South of America. When one of the theories that I tend to agree with is that when instruments were taken away from the enslaved people in the South following some of the rebellions, the slave rebellions, that rather than not have rhythm in their lives, that these people turned to hitting their body with their hands and hitting the ground with their feet to create music and rhythm, and that is very likely one of the kind of foundational moments in tap dance history. And then, as you said, of course, it has changed and grown and evolved so much. Around the 1840s, it picked up some influence from Irish dancers. We believe that probably happened in the Five Points District of New York in the 1840s. And then in the 1920s and 30s, we see the rise of people like Bill Robinson, who really brought a new level of technical sophistication to the art form. They began lifting tap dance up onto the toes rather than being a flat-footed dance form, as we think it previously had been. And then around 1940, there's a tap dancer named John Bubbles. And John Bubbles comes along and radically shifts the kind of character of tap dance. He changes the phrasing structure. He changes the number of sounds that people realize they could actually insert into tap dance. He starts doing these long musical ideas. Instead of these kind of three and a break patterns that you hear, he starts doing these long ideas and really elevating our art form to, I would argue, what it is today. And then, yes, in the 70s and 80s, Gregory Hines, Savion Glover, they come along, radically kind of reinvent tap, help, I think, make it relevant for a younger generation. I'm a jazz music nerd, but it's a sad fact. If you want to get young kids excited about something, jazz can be a tough sell. Now, I've been teaching 32 years. I'm a firm believer you can get kids excited about jazz music, but to get them in that door, if they see Savion Glover tapping to hip-hop music, that's all of a sudden this kind of brand-new cool thing that seems very relevant because it's what they hear on the radio. So I think that is the biggest nutshell, like, ever, because there's so many different things that happen. And, I didn't even touch on the MGM musical period, the great work of people like Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly, the Nicholas Brothers, and then all the bebop people.
42nd Street, all of those things.
Yeah, musical theater. It really, what is cool is that tap dance is an art form that America really birthed. And specifically black Americans really birthed. So I think it's an interesting in this period where people are talking about concepts like decolonizing dance, teaching American kids tap dance and its derivatives, the tap dance, the art forms that came out of tap, like jazz dance, like hip hop. That is a way to decolonize dance and give them more context and pride in the culture that they are growing up in as Americans.
You said you went to college for dance, and was tap a big part of that? Or did you have to kind of be a well-rounded dancer with everything?
They focused on kind of all the, I would say, the music theater, the tap, jazz, ballet as kind of the main things. But yeah, I chose, it's called Oklahoma City University, but they have a phenomenal tap dance program, which is why I chose them. Yeah, I'm from Canada originally, so I didn't even know where Oklahoma was on the map.
How you doing?
But yeah, now I definitely know where it is. And yeah, they have a wonderful dance program.
So take me back to where you first came here to see the dance program and thought, I think Chicago needs a tap company. Because it's probably something that they didn't have, or maybe if they did, we didn't know about it.
So surprisingly, I actually moved to Chicago to join a tap company.
Okay.
I graduated with a dance degree, like Chris did. I went to the University of New Mexico. My first job out of college was actually teaching at the university he ended up going to a decade later. We didn't intersect. But I taught there. I realized that Oklahoma was not for me, even though it's a lovely state and lovely people. But I wasn't ready to be in academia the rest of my life. I was 25, and I wanted to perform and create. And I had received an offer to join a company here in Chicago called Especially Tap Chicago. At that point, one of the great tap companies in the country. And I came here, and I danced with them for 2 years. And it was a great experience. I met lovely dancers, but I felt like there were some things that I wanted to do and say with tap dance that I could really only do if I was the one responsible for the company. So I had a residency in Paris. I lived there for a month. And while I was there, it sounds so cheesy, I journaled every day. I was 27. And I thought, you know, what is it that I want to do and say? And why do I want to do this? And what do I care about? And what's important to me? And so I came back to Chicago February 1st. We had our first show May 23rd. So in 3 months, I booked a theater here, one of these studios. I found the best adult students I was teaching. I was teaching at the Giordano Dance Center, so I had access to some really talented young dancers between 18 and 24 years old. And we did a show, and it was a success. People came, people liked it. We were lucky that the press gave it coverage. I always want to say, when people like you are doing what we're doing right now, thank you. If the journalists in a city don't pay attention to the arts wither. It really makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
So we were lucky. We got that attention, and we received some great reviews, and the show actually made money. Probably the last show we ever did that, made money. So that was that. We did that, and we realized, hey, this is a company. This isn't just a one-off show. And since then, I think the next season we did 2 shows. Every season after that, we did 3 shows every year. Started having a subscription series. Started touring more and more. Oh. We've toured to Europe 3 times. We've traveled around the country quite a few times. And we've just been very lucky to get to do what we love. And one thing I just want to push back on really quick, I'm a huge believer anyone can tap dance.
Okay.
I will tell you, I don't think that it's a magical thing that you're born with or not born with.
Yeah.
As an educator, of course, I have to feel this way.
Sure.
But I've seen it. You know, part of what Chicago Tap Theater does is, in addition to performances, we have an education program. So for 12 years, we've been teaching children who are deaf and hard of hearing.
Wonderful.
Through CPS, through Chicago Public Schools. And I have seen kids that people would assume would never have
Start
the capability.
Start with a step ball change, right?
That's it.
Anyone
That's
can do it.
They can. I
but
firmly
once you get
believe
higher,
that.
It takes a little more skill.
Well, yes. If you really want to do it at the advanced
sure,
level.
Sure.
And part of why it's challenging is, if you want to be a great tap dancer, you're not just a great dancer, you have to be a great musician.
Uh-huh.
And you have to understand phrasing, dynamics, tone, timbre, and understand jazz music. How is it put together? What is the form and the structure? And
right.
So it's a lot more than just learning technique and steps. It's
sure.
a whole thing.
Count, formation,
yes.
teamwork, all that stuff, right?
Most definitely.
Taking me back to when I had tap lessons when I was in I think it was grammar school and high school, that kind of thing.
I love it.
Anyway, I love tap myself. Aww. This is really still such a unique thing. You know, when you think about going out, you know, for the theater and a dinner, I mean, seeing a number of tap dancers is just really an amazing thing, I think, because it's not something you see every day. Now, over 20 years, how many dancers have you kind of, you know, molded and had in your company?
I would say we've probably had over 125 dancers in the company in one form or another. I think like many dance companies, we have a structure. So we have company members who are full company members. They're paid for every show. They're now paid for every rehearsal. They tour anytime we have a tour date. We have touring apprentices who are apprentices who've been there a couple years and shown the proficiency and dedication to kind of rise above being an apprentice. First year with Chicago Tap Theater, pretty much without exception, you have to be an apprentice because we want to have an opportunity to get to know the dancers and for them to get to know us. They may realize that our approach to tap dance isn't what they're interested in doing. And likewise, we may feel that it just isn't a good fit.
Speaking of, you are an apprentice in the first year, correct?
I am, yes.
Tell me how you guys kind of met many years later after you kind of took similar paths, different decades, I guess.
yeah, following in his footsteps.
Yeah.
10 years
literally.
Later,
so. footsteps.
Yeah, so I have a small performing career after college and then took several years off. I was in human resources in Hershey and having a great time there. But kind of right before the pandemic and definitely during the pandemic, felt like I want to go back to dance. I want to go back to tap dance. And maybe to do that, I need to move. So I'd heard about Chicago as a place with a wonderful dance scene and tap dance scene specifically. So I was looking into tap dance stuff January of 2021. I was looking specifically for adult tap classes I could take to get back in shape so that when I moved to Chicago in the fall, I'd be in better shape. And I came across Chicago Tap Theater that was a company, and they had tap classes on Zoom. So
was it like riding a bike?
a little bit, yeah, a little bit.
It came back to you a little bit?
Uh-huh.
Took a pandemic for you to realize your true passion, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the case with a lot of people.
Definitely, yeah. Gave us
good
the time
decision?
To, yes, for sure, yeah, for sure. I've enjoyed Chicago so far. I've been here, I guess, 3 months now. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. Very, very
it does
fresh.
Get warmer eventually.
Well, from Canada, I'm.
Oh, that's right,
I actually
that's right.
love the snow.
That's right.
I don't
a day
mind
like this,
shoveling
it's like
and
hard
yeah.
Hard to sell this city on a day like this is for sure.
But yeah, and I actually took one class from Mark. Maybe it's been 10 years now. He was at a convention before that I took one class. So he's like, "Well, hopefully it won't be another 10 years before you take another class." From me. And yeah, I enjoyed taking the classes and I've enjoyed the past 3 months apprenticing here. The company, I would say it's more than a tap company. Like they have, I don't know what you call it, like what we believe type things.
A mission.
Believe inclusivity.
Yes.
And yeah, so all the people in the company, whether they're apprentice or touring apprentice or company member, have treated me like a friend, like family. Yeah, it's been wonderful, warm. Environment to get back into the tap dance.
Great. You mentioned tap conventions?
Yeah,
wow.
Well, dance conventions.
Dance conventions.
There's tap festivals.
Oh, wow. That must be neat.
You know, it's an interesting thing. Tap dance is at this interesting point in its history where literally some of the best tap dance that has ever happened in the history of this art form is happening right now. Hmm. I think one of the things that many even Chicagoans don't know is that Chicago internationally is known as a hub for some of the best tap dancing happening right now. Part of that is, I would like to think, is the work we do, but also there's the amazing company Mad Rhythms based out of the south side of Chicago. They're in the Bronzeville neighborhood. And in fact, we collaborate with them. We're doing a show with them in May.
Wow.
There's a longstanding organization that had been producing festivals here in town. So this is a place for tap dance, but what you'll find is that right now, you know, tap dance is everywhere. Part of why I teach in Europe every year, except sadly for the past 2 years, for some reason,
mm-hmm.
and the quality of tap dance in Europe is astounding. They have amazing artists. They're taking this art form and kind of taking their own culture now and playing with, you know, what they can do with it. And part of what I love about tap dance is that once you have a thorough grounding in the art, and especially if you have the knowledge of the history and the respect for it, I feel like then you really do have the permission to take it and experiment and try new things and see what the dance form can do. Brazil has a huge tap scene. Japan has a big tap scene. It really is a golden moment for this art form. I just don't know if the word is out yet. I think it's getting there, right?
We're
yes, you are. You better believe it. Yeah.
Now, do you find that you have dancers like Chris who maybe went to the corporate world and realized their heart belonged as a trained dancer that they are? Or do you find people that knew right away that that was going to be their career path?
I would say 95% of the people that come to audition for us are people in their late teens and 20s who are going straight into a performance career or want to. Chris's story is actually relatively unique at the level that he performs at. Now, I will say as a teacher, you know, I've had adult classes in Chicago for 21 years, and all the time I have students walk into a classroom and say, well, I took tap as a child. I love it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know, one of my favorite stories, I have a woman who's now a very, very dear friend of mine who she took class for me 9 or 10 years ago and then disappeared. I didn't see her again. I always thought, what happened to her? And I think about 6, maybe 5 years ago, she walks back into my class. And she finished class and she said, oh my gosh, Mark, this felt so great. I can't believe I stopped doing it. And I said, what got you to come back in? And she said, my dog went in the closet and pulled my tap shoes out. And she said, that was a sign. And so I think, you know, the great thing is you can come to tap at any point in your life. It's not a dance form that requires you to jump high in the air, go to the floor, do crazy turns. Tap dance really can meet you where you're at.
That's true.
And give you what you need. If you just need to have joy in your life and you want to move to rhythm and you want to move with others, there's this inherent joy in moving collectively. It produces this feeling inside that is, I don't think, replicable in anything else. The sweet home, Chicago. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But a story like Chris's, where you know, you've gone, you've had a career. He was being very modest. He did cruise ships. Like, he had a career in dance.
Okay.
And then go to the corporate world and then come back and then really have the dedication and perseverance. I mean, he was taking virtual classes every week over Zoom during the pandemic. And I remember I kind of teased him saying, okay, it's been 10 years since I've seen you. You know, am I going to see you again? And sure enough, he was there the next week and the week after that and the week after that. And at a certain point, I think I said to you after a Zoom, I was like, look, like, you're really good. You should consider, if this is what you want, move to Chicago. So I think, you know, while I think the story that Chris has is a story that you hear occasionally, it's really pretty rare and it takes a pretty special person.
Absolutely. That's a huge risk, you know?
Yes.
But it's paying off so far.
A full-time job, nice
Absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Give that up and move to a city and try to do tap dance as an apprentice. Yeah. It's a big risk.
Let's talk about the last couple of years, shall we? I guess we have to, right?
We have to.
It's part of the history of the arts here, for sure.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you did lots of virtual classes, which was kind of the case with a lot of people in your industry. But also, you did start to do some performances. When did you kind of bite the bullet on that and say, you know, we can really do this safely?
So we had a unique story. We had a show in Chicago the weekend of March 8th, 2020.
Oh.
We literally, and we, you know, I'm sure you probably remember here in Chicago, there wasn't that feeling at first that it necessarily was going to be that serious.
Right.
And we all thought, oh, it's a two-week lockdown, whatever. And so, you know, we went through with the show. It's interesting. We had sold tickets pretty well up until a week before the show. And the week before the show is when the bottom started to drop out and all the news started hitting. I don't think we sold a single ticket the week of the show. But up until then, so I think we ended up being about 70% capacity, which is pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I think we all had the feeling like, oh, this is maybe it for a little bit. My wife and I, who's also a part of the company, we had this weird experience. We actually had to move during the lockdown. We had to move like March 24th.
Oh.
Because of a whole, our lease was up, and wow. It was one of those weird things. Like they couldn't force somebody to move for not paying rent, but they could force you to move if your lease was up. Mm. And our landlord was like, no, your lease is up, and we want to convert this into a much more expensive place. So we were looking for a place to live, all this stuff. So I remember in my head, I was like, okay, I gave myself 1 week after the show and after the lockdown was instituted to move, focus on that, you know, be with my wife and really live that moment. And then we said, okay, what are we going to do? And I remember feeling that as an arts organization and myself as the artistic director, I felt like we had an obligation and a responsibility to do two things. One, I felt like we needed to provide distraction, joy, because if you remember, just having something that seemed somewhat frivolous, which the arts are never frivolous, but you know, when you were seeing the news and people are dying in hospitals and all that, you know, giving people a moment to take a class online or watch something online, we felt like we had this obligation to really provide, as part of our mission, little moments of distraction and hopefully happiness. And so I met with my staff virtually. I think it was the first week of April, and I said, okay, here's what I'm going to propose. We're going to buckle down. We're going to work harder than we've ever worked. And we're going to say from this date until August 31st, we're going to put out new, original, exclusive content every single day. And we're going to put out a schedule, and people are going to know what they can find every day. And we're going to stick to it, and we're not going to let people down. And so we did. I started an Instagram talk show where I interviewed famous tap dancers, because of course I'm in the community, I know all those people. So twice a week, every week, the show had a theme song. It was an hour long. We talk about it, tap dance and their own history and all that kind of fun stuff.
Take my job.
Oh no. No, nobody watching an episode would think that. But I enjoyed it. I mean, and I do actually, I have a journalism background. I was
That's
a teen journalist. And
all right.
For a hot minute, I was a journalism major in college.
Nice.
And I love, I mean, I'm such a believer in the importance of journalism. Different discussion.
All right.
But very much.
Good job.
So we did that. We had a book club once a week where we met online. We had people from four continents in our book club every week.
Amazing.
And the whole idea of the book club is we read books about tap, and the author of the book was part of the book club. Because Zoom, everyone was home, mm-hmm. everyone had time, and so I was like, we have this opportunity to have access that we'll never have again. That's how I was able to get relatively big names in our field for my talk show. You know, normally these people would be traveling all over the world and performing and teaching. Well, they were sitting at home. Mm-hmm. And so I'd send them a text or call them and say, hey, you want to do this? Eh, why not? And then we had classes every Wednesday, which Chris was a part of. We had, every Monday I did history lectures on jazz music on Facebook. So like I say, it was all new.
Well, you pivoted in many ways, physically and literally.
Well, and so we did that.
In so many ways, you probably could have never imagined you'd do.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
And it felt, I mean, it gave me purpose. It helped us get through the pandemic because we had something positive to do. But I realized, okay, now that we're serving that part of our constituency, our audience, our students, are the people that buy tickets, the people around the world who love tap, the next thing we had to do was take care of our dancers. Because, you know, it was a tough period for all of us. And we were like, okay, what do dancers need to be happy? They need to dance. So the day that we were allowed to be in person again, I think was May 1st. I think it was right around then. And so I called the Athenaeum Theater. And I said, hey, I know it sounds crazy. We want to do a show in July in the theater. We know that we'll wear masks. We know there won't be an audience. But we're going to do this. And we had a rehearsal space. And so we started meeting in masks, and we did the whole thing that everyone did back then in dance studios. Everyone had a little box that they had to stay within, mm-hmm. right? You couldn't, because you didn't want to be within 6 feet of anybody. And I'm very proud to say we had no transmissions within the company and still haven't. Mm. But part of that is I took one of my dancers who's also the company manager back then. Their name is Molly Smith. I asked them to become the COVID compliance officer, and they did all the research. They stayed up on all the CDC, Chicago, mm-hmm. All that stuff. And so we made sure that we were safe. We ended up producing that show. We did a show 4 months after that. We did another show, I think, 6 months after that, all virtual. We did a live show in July. And then here we are now preparing for this huge show here back at the Athenaeum with a live audience.
Let's
that?
Because that's going to be a big one.
Yes.
I mean, I bet you that's going to be kind of an emotional experience for you as well, going through all this and finally getting through it, right? Yeah. So tell me about that show. We'll wrap it up with that.
I'd love to.
Okay.
So the show is called For the Love of Tap. And the idea is that during this incredibly difficult time for all of us, the love of tap is what got us through it. And so it's our little love letter to the art form. I think the upshot for the audience is they're going to get to see a tight show. It's going to be probably about an hour 15. I think right now nobody wants to sit through a really long show, and we get that. But they're going to get a tight show of some of the audience's very most favorite pieces we've ever performed. And we're premiering some new pieces that are really exciting. And if you don't mind, I'll talk you through some of the pieces really quick.
Sure, sure.
So one of the things I'm incredibly excited about and proud of, we're bringing back a historical masterpiece of tap dance, originally choreographed in 1986 by tap pioneer Brenda Buffalino. We're bringing back a piece of hers called Flying Turtles. It is widely acknowledged within our field as one of the most important works of tap choreography in the past 50 years. And Brenda came and worked with us and cleaned the piece. So audiences are going to see the piece the way that Brenda intended it. So that's a very rare experience to get to see a historical piece that really has been touched and cleaned by the creator of the work. So we're doing that. That will be closing the entire show. We are also bringing back a piece to Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata. Mm. And it's one of our pieces that people have always said, oh, when are you going to do that piece again? So, okay, we're bringing
something
it back
for everyone, it sounds like. In this show.
I hope. And we're bringing back a favorite choreographed by our rehearsal director, Sterling, that is brilliant, and it's in 7/4, very challenging musically. And then new pieces-wise, our former company manager, Molly, they have a brand new piece in the show. Sterling is premiering a new piece to the Herbie Hancock classic, Maiden Voyage. I'm premiering a brand new piece. And we have a premiere from the woman I consider one of the top three tap dancers working today, named Star Dixon. She's a tap dancer based out of the South Side from Mad Rhythms. And I've wanted to work with her forever. So we finally were able to get the funding and bring her in to work with our company. So we're premiering a piece that she choreographed to the great bebop classic Tintin Deo. So the other thing that you should know, the entire show is performed with live music. That is a part of what we do.
Wow.
We never perform with recorded music if we can help it. And so they'll see this amazing live band. We have a brand new music director that's going to be doing their first show with us. So this really is going to be a monumental, it is going to be a tap. It's going to be a lot of tap. It's going to be
How are you not
joy.
Excited when he talks about like
I'm
such
very
a,
excited.
Right?
Yeah.
You got a big smile on your face right
I
now.
I do. Yeah. I'm excited to be dancing again, tapping again. And yeah, Star's piece you mentioned, we're learning that and it's got wonderful rhythms, like, yeah, there's
really
something.
It's also kind of like a reemergence, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's, I think, more than anything, when I talk to the people in the art industry, when they finally kind of have that full out and everything that they've been wanting to have for the last 2 years in front of a live audience. And this is February
19th. Yeah, February 19th at 7:30. And it will then premiere 2 weeks later on March 4th on Vimeo premiere. People will be able to watch it anywhere in the world. It'll be available for 1 week. And just a quick note on our virtual performances. It is not a camera just set up in the back of the theater. And we have a team of camera people. It will be professionally shot in 4K, edited together. The audio and video will be perfectly synced. So it is a full-on production, people, because we do sell those links. Tickets are available at chicagotaptheater.com/events. Click on that. That will give you the links to buy either the virtual or the in-person. Of course, if you want the in-person, it'll link to the Athenaeum Theater box office, and they'll take good care of you. It's really going to be a great show. It is worth noting that you do need to be vaccinated, and masks will be worn by the audience during the show. I understand that might be a bummer for some people, but on the other hand, I really hope that it gives comfort and allows people to know that they will be as safe as possible during the show. And there will be no concessions sold because we want people to be as safe as possible. So we can't wait till we really don't have to do any of that anymore. But for now, we really take our audiences and our dancers' safety incredibly seriously.
Hopefully by your 20th, we'll be over this hump,
yes,
right? Congratulations, both of you. Chris Large and Mark Yonnelly, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck on your reemergence, your big show coming up in mid-February.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Coming up on the next episode of Backstage Chicago, it was founded in 1956 as a direct response to the civil rights movement. But over the last 65 years, the Chicago Children's Choir has united tens of thousands of children of all races and religions through music. We'll talk to its president and artistic director about how the Children's Choir has made a difference in so many lives, and over the years has become one of Chicago's premier cultural institutions. Listen to the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select 1-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location. While supplies last.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.